Let's start today by reading from the book of John chapter 10. That was where we ended last time. Last week, we began to talk about what we titled Power with God. And I think this is very important for us to understand what we are saying there about power with God. Let me just review some of the things we said last time, which was very important. In fact, I listened to the message a bit today. I told my wife, why didn't you tell me that last Saturday was so loaded? We just are making fun about it. But I made some profound statements last time, which I want to just review a few of them again. Number one, we explain again the concept of what we call equality with God. That one is very important for us to understand. That when Jesus came, at a point in time, he said, God was my father. God is my father. He said, my father is walking and I am also walking. And they said, the Jews became very angry. He said, for calling God your father, you are making yourself equal with God, and therefore they were more willing to kill him. And he did not deny the fact that he was equal with God. We explained what that meant. That, you see, there was something I said last time, which I heard myself say it when I was listening to the message, and I just realized I was quoting a scripture without quoting a scripture. And this is the point. Now, we talk about that equality with God. That is something that is attainable on the earth. And the way we look at things a lot of times is that we think that when you talk about equality with God, it means you will sit down and start creating your own heavens and your own earth. And I said that's not what it meant. What Jesus was saying is that in every realm of existence, there are rules and there are regulations. And I gave an example of the close marking system that we use in medical school to score our students. So though I'm a lecturer, though I'm a specialist in the particular field that I'm teaching, I have a student that has studied that course for less than a year, and I give him an examination. It's possible for him to attain to what I call equality with the lecturer. That is, if I score him 70 over 100, that is equality with the lecturer. Though he does not know everything I know, though he doesn't have the experience that I have, though nobody will trust him to put his signature on a diagnosis and the doctor will act upon it, nobody will trust him to do that. All right? Because I'm a pathologist. That's what I'm giving as an example. Now, but if he will write an exam in pathology and he gets 70 over 100, I will say he has attained equality with the lecturer, because if I were to take the same exam, that's the maximum mark I could attain. I can't get more than that. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? So in the realms of this creation, there are things that even if God himself were to show up, all right, to do, it is impossible for him to do beyond that. I give an example that if God was a king in Israel, the best judgment he could deliver was exactly the same that Solomon was delivering. I don't know whether you get my point. It is not because he doesn't have the capacity beyond the person Solomon. But when you come into flesh, there are limitations that flesh is born with. For example, you can't be in two places at the same time. Are you getting my point? Physically. Those are the limitations of being inside the flesh. So when God puts a spirit inside a body, all right, there is a level that spirit can attain in this existence. And once you attain that level, we say you have attained what the Bible calls, what Jesus called equality with the Father. Do you follow what I'm going to explain here? So when Solomon was king, he uttered wisdom that God declared that this kind of wisdom, all right, before you, nobody ever used it. And before you, after you, there will be no king that would ever use that kind of wisdom. Which meant that under that dispensation, the maximum amount of wisdom attainable by a living person, is that okay? It was what Solomon had. And that in that realm, you say the man attained equality with God. Now, so what Jesus was describing, all right, is a situation in life which people can attain to. Please get the point. I said the quest of the soul of every religion on earth, every religion that claimed to be seeking after the true God, go and check it. That's exactly what they are looking for. They have different names for it. That's what they are looking for. Are you getting my point? And I said something last time that we talked about the issue of the living perfect master that all these religions talk about. I said, indeed, that's what I was saying, that I quoted the scripture and even I was quoting it. The Bible said that he was perfected. He said, having been perfected, he became what the author of eternal salvation for everyone who would draw near to God by him. That is, Jesus indeed, in scriptural terminology, is a living, perfect Lord and Master. Because he's alive. He rose again from the dead. He said, I am he. He appeared to John. He said, I am he that was dead, but now I am alive. And the Bible says he was perfected. Do you understand my point? Now, so that's what we began with last time. That's what we began with, trying to explain that concept. So when Jesus made that statement, he wasn't fully himself. Of course, you know he wasn't. But there were deep things inside that statement that the Jews themselves, they realized but did not know it was possible. And I said that we Christians, we were introduced into life, all right, because of our faith in Christ Jesus on a different plane. Because Jesus looked at them and said, of all men born of women, none was as great as John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And I made a statement then. I can look Buddha himself in the face and say, look here, what you are trying to get, I got it without trying. Are you getting my point? What you practiced, listen, when you're talking about people seeking after God, I read the story of Buddha. It was serious. It was serious. You know, my wife and I were discussing, we traveled on Friday. On our way back, there was this, we listened to a Kenneth Hagin message in the car, casting your cares upon the Lord. I shared the message with a lot of us some time ago, those who were interested. So we listened to the second tape in the series. And Kenneth Hagin made some statements. So my wife began to ask questions based on those statements. And I said, a lot of the things that we practice, all right, they have to do with fasting and prayer and, you know, stuff. Anyway, the man was explaining a principle that God gave him an anointing to minister to the sick, all right? And there was a time, the anointing was in a particular measure, and he will occasionally the thing will come upon him heavily, all right, very very heavy. For example, he said he will just jump up and know that this thing will last just for a few minutes. So suddenly come laying hands on people. He will lay hands on maybe 40 people. 40 people will fall under the power. He's touching them; they will fall down. I believe I can't remember him saying it, but all of them will get healed if they were there for healing, and half of them were looking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit will receive it, and then the anointing will disappear. And it will happen again, maybe another 5 years. Not every day. Are you getting my point? So sometimes he will exercise himself before going to go and minister. And, you know, fast and pray and do all kinds of things, and nothing will happen. The next time it will happen is the time he didn't do anything like that. He just got up to preach normally, with the normal preparations he normally has. He said, as if God was trying to tell him, in effect, all right, that this doesn't depend on you. Is that okay? So the man was teaching us how to relax, okay, and just allow God to work. He was trying to explain some principles. So we're not talking about the fasting matter. So my wife was asking me a lot of questions about some of the things that the man said, and I was trying to clarify. And I told her something. I said, a lot of our practices, listen to this, where I'm going to. I said, a lot of our practices in Christianity, I hope you won't hate me after now. I said, a lot of them are based on hidden religion. Now, get my point. They are not evil things. They were things that men used to try to reach God. Do you follow my point? I said there were things that men tried to use. Let me explain something to you. If you have to punish your flesh in trying to reach God, that's not Christianity. He said, what about putting your body under? I said, doing a legitimate thing. Like a man is hungry and he goes to eat. He said, I won't eat. I'm putting my body under. I said, listen, my friend. Close your nose and don't breathe and tell me you're putting your body under. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Now, I'm bringing out something. That Buddha, I read his story. He fasted so much at the time his hair fell off out of malnutrition. He said his ribs, you could count them out of fasting. Listen, this one of declaring a 100-day fast, no drinking, no water for the first 10 days is not Christianity. I see it. I tell my wife, one of these people, I don't teach some of these things, that they think that you are lazy. Listen, on campus, we fasted. They say today is fasting and prayer. As boys, they go class, come up for class, go chop lunch. After dissection for 3 hours, you go sit down somewhere. Temptation, oh my God. That's not the temptation. The temptation is that fast was supposed to end at 6 o'clock. Lectures ended at 5. That was the temptation. As you stroll back to hostel, you got to pass the buka. Ha, ya gadas. That is real putting the body under. You go look that road like this, because if you turn like this, you don't break the fast. So you go begin, go hostel by force. And you reach there, you go lie down, you look the clock. You'll be having communion with the clock. Every 1 minute. They say, you're supposed to pray. You close your eyes. Once it's 6, bang out, Jesus is Lord. Dive to the common room. Now, that bottle of Sprite and that bread, bring it first. There and then, you first finish it. Calm down and now decide, what do I want to eat? Because that was not the food, though. No, we did all of that. But listen, after looking at many things, a lot of things we do, listen, they are not necessary. I'm not discussing about fasting now, the role of fasting and all of that. I'm not discussing it now. But listen, your intensity of hunger does not in any way affect the potency of your prayer. It doesn't make you more powerful before God or before the devil. Let me get back to what I was trying to explain. Even Buddha found out. That's what I'm saying. They called it, I think, austerity or something. Or as, anyway, as if you heard of what they call asceticism. He practiced everything. The man, if you see pictures of him, he was round and maybe he got body small, all right? But that was after he had relaxed. Before then, he was so thin, he almost died from hunger. He said after a while, he told his colleagues that this will not lead us into enlightenment. That's what they call it. By the time he returned to see some of his colleagues in their quest, some of them, they called him, no, he's like Christian. He said, this guy is backsliding. He has left the faith, in quote, that he has not eaten normally. Sometimes we talk about somebody like St. Francis, you know, the Christian St. Francis of Assisi. The man was the man that had power with God. I don't know the detail of his story. And a lot of people like to tell his story about how the man practiced asceticism so bad. But they don't tell the end of the story. At the end of the day, the man said it was not necessary. That this one of fasting till we die and eating from cardboard. That good plate is not necessary. You know, we use from whatnot. We eat from cardboard and eat from plate. The man said it's not necessary. It doesn't get us anywhere. He found out that the power of good works is more important than all this one of punishing the flesh. I was at home, I was meditating. I said, you know, living in a monastery is not Christianity. Isolating yourself from the world is not Christianity. At all is not. God expects Christians to walk with him and walk with him, walk in life at the same time. That's why if you notice, he used to come to see Adam in the cool of the evening. Do all your work during the day. Then when you are relaxing, that's when we will talk. Do you understand my point? You can't live in the cool of the evening every day. You are supposed to go out and go and walk. That's what he was telling them. Now, I'm bringing out something in all of these things. That you see, men, look, I'm using Buddha as an example. Men tried, okay, to reach God. But that's one thing that Jesus did for us. We don't have to go through what they went through. You see, it's not a light thing that you would just kneel down. All right? And Jesus would tell his disciples, say after me, our Father, who art in heaven. And they expect God to hear. It's not a light thing. I told you before that if you see every religion of the world, they have intermediaries between themselves and God. Every single one. Every single one. Some of us Christians still want to practice it. There are two ways to practice it. You either practice the Catholic way or the Pentecostal way. This is the Catholic way. You pray through saints, you pray through Mary, because Jesus can be very angry. So you go through his mother. Pentecostals laugh at that. But they have their own also. What is their own? You don't pray through any, thank you. You go to the pastor. Everything, pastor must have your word. If the word is, pastor's word is final. This is the interesting part. Even Jesus, now, please listen to me before you crucify me. Even Jesus does not expect you to come through him all the time. Listen, you know what he expects? You will come to him, he will introduce you to the Father. Do you understand my point? And then he will now say, the Father himself loves you. Anything you ask the Father in my name, that is, it's not as if Jesus helped us ask the Father. With the authority of the name of Jesus, we have access to the throne of God anytime. That is, between us and God, all right, there's no longer an intermediary. What Jesus did was to take us and introduce us to whom? To the Father. Said, this is one of my people. This is one of my own men and women on the earth. So anytime he shows up, answer him. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That's what Christianity is. That is, he builds you up to the place where you can approach God directly. Because you are being transformed to the image of Christ Jesus. We'll discuss some of these things in details. Are you getting my point? But the rest of the world, what do? We look for intermediaries. So the Yoruba man will have Obatala, Ifa, Ogun, all of those things. And I said to you, this Christian practice, in quote, Christian in quote, of praying through saints is a carryover. When men didn't want to depart from what they were doing, and Christianity became a national religion. So we carried our idols into church and gave them new names. instead of Ogun, we call him Saint something. You know what I'm trying to say? Worship, you know, it's all, you know, it's hidden religion that we try to adapt into Christianity. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, but men, look, men tried. That's what I'm saying. But what did Jesus do? He said, you don't have to go through all of that. To talk to God, the children of Israel, they come with all kinds of sacrifices. You will just kneel down there and you begin to pray. Right there and then, and you connect with heaven. Listen, you are so used to it, you don't realize how precious it is. Do you get my point? Let me give another example. I saw something on my mail yesterday. Although I heard it some time ago. What killed Michael Jackson? Alright? The story essentially is that he died from a side effect of a sedative, certain kind of potent sedatives. This is the point. The man couldn't sleep. It's not today. Since 1989, they say he's had serious problems with sleeping. I say, now, wow. The problem with me I get now with me waking up. Yesterday night, I staggered from the sitting room, entered the bedroom, told my wife, I'm going to have a bath. When she came later, the guy was having a sleep. I finally woke up. Later, I went to have the bath, came back, laid down, quickly checked my mails, replied to a friend of mine, and then I brought out a book, one man who I love so much, John G. Lake. I said, let me read. I put down the chapters I'm going to read. And I laid down to start reading. Next thing I knew was 6 a.m. I didn't read one line. So I started, got up, I said, wow, now let me read this book. Next thing I knew, it was 7:30. I didn't read anything. Because I was fucked up from the previous day. So I'm not going to die from an overdose of sedatives. Do you know what I need to die from is an overdose of something to keep me awake. Now, what am I going to explain? That's what it is with us and God. We are so used to God, we don't understand what it means not to have access to Him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just the way that I'm so used to sleep, I can't understand why somebody needs to take something to sleep. Take so much that he may die from it. In the same manner, we have become so used to God, we don't understand what it means, all right? Not to have access to God. That's what Jesus came to do for us. So that's why I was saying that Buddha, with all the search, let me get back to where I said that Jesus from. With all the try he tried, I feel like tapping him and say, oh God, come. You see, you were walking by your own strength. May I allow somebody else to open the way for me? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, including Buddha, can come to the Father except by me. I said, you know what I just did? I just heard the gospel, believed it, and through that, I entered into the presence of the Father. Oh God, beleo. And let's look at it. Look me in the eyes. Who's higher? Do you get my point? If he was alive today, practicing that his religion, look me in the eyes. Who is higher? You or me? Because of all men born of women, none was as great as John the Baptist. But even though Banky is the smallest in the kingdom of God, Jesus said this one is higher than him. So Buddha, you are inferior to John the Baptist. You agree? Yes, sir. Now, I am superior to John the Baptist. How did I attain to that level? It's because of what Jesus did for me. That's what we introduced last time. Is that okay? That it is possible, all right, for us to get to a point in life, and I want to just quickly explain that again, in which we become an exact representation of God on the earth, because Jesus has indeed opened a door. Now, Jesus became that exact representation. There's one scripture I want us to read quickly. I'll just review everything I've said so far. That's what we discussed in detail last time. Let's just continue from there. I said we should open to the book of John chapter 10, alright? But keep your fingers there. Quickly open to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Did I say Hebrews chapter 1? Sorry. The book of Hebrews chapter 1. He said from verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Now, please listen to this. In verse 3, it says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. The Bible says that when he had made a purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Now, what I just, there's another scripture I want us to read. That's, just go down to that chapter 2. From verse 9, it said, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, that is Jesus, because of the suffering of death. That's how he became a little while lower than the angels. And then he was crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Now notice verse 10 carefully, please. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, please, from verse 14. He said, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Now, okay, let me just stop there. I want to stop there for now. I want to bring out something, all right, from these scriptures. Now, first, we read about the fact that Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature. We're going to go back to John chapter 10, all right? I've not forgotten that. Now, you now see here that what he did, all right, it was perfected through sufferings. The Bible makes it clear that he's the author of salvation. Now, in verse 10, what I want to bring out is that verse 10, that it said that the aim in all of this is that he was bringing many sons to glory. The Bible says that he perfected the author of their salvation through sufferings. But why? So that he might bring many sons to glory. I'm bringing out something. Now, you know what happened? We talk about these living perfect masters. Let me explain something. Now, Buddha is their living, well, was alive. I don't know. Currently, the living perfect master is who? The Dalai Lama. Are you not informed? I mean, Dalai Lama, all right? Yeah, all right. That's the living perfect master. All right. Okay. I told you the other time, I heard an American come and talk on TV. They also have their own. There's one particular American who lives somewhere in the U.S. who's currently there. They call him the Mahanta. It's the union of God and man, all right? Now, if you don't know anything, you look at them, you laugh at them. Don't laugh at them, all right? There's a concept behind what they're discussing. It's just that they are misguided. Is that okay? Now, please, bear this in mind. Now, you see that when the Mahanta people want to talk, they refer to their Mahanta. They look as like that is the living perfect master. This one person at a time. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Now, the Buddhists too, they pick one. Some say it's the reincarnation of the Buddha. Now, the point I'm making here is they pick one person and point to him as the representation of God on the earth. This is the interesting part. We Christians also do funny things like that. We also do. Believe me, we also do. Did you hear what I said? We also do. Did you hear what I said? We do. I don't want to mention names. That is abuse at us. We do. We do. Believe me, we do. I'll tell you. Talk to somebody in Christ Embassy. He thinks the world of Pastor Chris. Nothing wrong with the guy as a person. I'm not saying anything about him. But the opinion of his followers is it borders on occultism. I read somewhere, or in a particular Christian magazine, the analysis of the worship, all right, that Deeper Life will almost give WF Kumuyi. One day I went to visit somebody, a winner's man. I went with a friend of mine. By the time he papaed us for like 20, minutes, my friend said he wanted him to come and just hear Papa. I'm telling you. Now, listen. We have to be careful that we give honor to whom honor is due and don't overly, all right, give what place Jesus is supposed to have to another person. We have to be very careful. Now, this is the difference. Because sometimes as a human being, there's a kind of religion inside our souls which instruction from the word of God will help us overcome. Do you follow my point? It is natural. It's a natural thing about people, all right, to try to pass their responsibilities over to somebody else. It makes life easier for you. Therefore, you go to church, it's whatever the big guy say, that is all. That is, you don't have to think again. You don't have to try and follow God's order for your life. I know a church, I won't mention them. They will actually choose for you who you will marry. You, this lady fits you. Don't, if you think we excommunicate you, what should you think? Christians, all right? Real Christians. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus, I told you before, what he came to do was to open a door, See, John chapter Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. He said, it was fitting for him for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation. Now, listen to this. Don't forget, verse 9. He said that Jesus, because of the suffering of death, was crowned with glory and honor. And what is his aim? To bring many sons to that same position of glory. Not that the rest of them will be talking about just him, but that each one of them, while they're on this earth, will attain to the same thing that he attained. And why he went through everything was so as to make that possible. If you read his story, I don't have time to give you all the details. Oh, okay, I gave you a bit of it now. What people like Buddha went through. Listen to me, they didn't open door for anybody. Their case was like the one Jesus said, John the Baptist was a light shining for a moment, and you rejoice in his light for a season. That's what happened. The man attained his own light and felt cool with himself. Everybody is now rejoicing in his own light or in his light. They are not trying to attain to their own light. No, nobody's trying. And that's not what God planned. His plan, this is what he did, was listen, this is the way to go. He went through that way and opened the door so that everybody else can pass through that. I'm coming to something now. That is why, if you understand true Christianity, there are statements that can never come from your mouth. I've never heard anybody say it, but I've read it. It's that the age of miracles is past. It's not possible. It's not possible because Jesus Christ is born every day. Jesus Christ grows up every day and matures and enters into ministry every day. Therefore, it is not possible for the age of miracles to be past. Do you get my point? Because listen, as you have got that, you know what you did? You came to listen to another manifestation of Jesus Christ. Do you get what I'm trying to say? When you go about your business, what's going on? Another manifestation of Jesus is going about his business. Because what he came to do was to bring many sons to glory. The idea of God is to fill the earth with many Jesus Christ. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Do you follow what I'm trying to explain here? No, that's what he came to do. That's why it's not possible for you to tell me that it's not possible. It's not possible. Because Jesus Christ didn't die and disappear. He died, rose again. Do you follow what I mean? And then left the method open, the door open for everybody to become exactly like him. Not as if we all gather and look at one man and say, oh, that man. Oh, that's one man. No. I said the job of preachers is to build you up to become exactly what God wants you to be. I was talking with Kingsley the other day, Kingsley. No, we're talking. And you know, before that, I'd forgotten exactly what led to it, but I had thought about it, all right? And some things were going through my mind. And I said, when I would know, because, okay, I was talking about, look, listen, to preach several times a week. No, there was a time I thought about, you know, radio broadcast. We've been going on now uninterrupted for, that's about 4 years now, Abby. Then we added TV to it. And I've been coming up here to teach 11 months of the year, every Saturday since 2003. Then about 2 years ago, we added Tuesday to it. Apart from December, this thing's gone all the time. There are times I settle down and ask myself, oh boy, what are you up to? You see, if you're a preacher and you are not instructed, that is why you will start looking at the fruit of ministry. Praise God. Men in business, they build houses. We also build houses. Come and see my house, Independence Layout. It is fat and big. I have one in Abuja. There's one in Lagos. Who says serving God is not good? Listen, that's arrant rubbish. Nonsense. Satan can do that one for you quicker than God can, if you know what I mean. God will give you process. You know, follow me and be perfect. Satan says, why do you have to be perfect? Be a crook, steal, adulterer, be anything you like. Come, I will make you rich. You want money, Satan can give you sharp, sharp. You know, you want fame, you want popularity, there are guys who will give it to you. You want money, there are people who will gladly give it to you. Believe me, they exist till today. They will give it to you. You go to a village somewhere, you see one interior occultic man sitting down there. He says, if not so, he gets power. Why is he not rich? The truth is that he's not ready to make the kind of sacrifice that's necessary. Because he's such a spiritual man, he knows what you are running after is vanity. He doesn't have to be a Christian. Look, all you need to do is look in the realm of the spirit. You know all these people are running after? Vanity. That is why the real occultic men don't have time for all this. I must drive a big car. Once you glance into the realm of the spirit, you know all these things, is emptiness. It's like chasing after the wind. They know. That's why he's content with sitting in the village. The men know his vanity. Now, let me just get back. Now, this is the point I'm making, all right? That, you see, when you start giving testimony, like even as a preacher, if for you the aim of ministry, the sign of success, is that okay? Is all these material things, you have lost it. You have totally lost it. So that day, Kingsley and I were speaking because of these thoughts I've had and we're just chatting. And I told him that after thinking about it, what's the purpose? And I realized what the purpose was or is. And I said, for me, the sign of success, I'm telling you the truth, hear it. The sign that this word has been properly preached, because actually the word always works. The problem is that sometimes we don't preach it properly. Do you get my point? It always works. The sign that we have preached it properly in integrity and consistently. You know the sign? It is the people that heard the word, what he did in their lives. Are you getting my point? It's what he produced in the lives of the people that heard it and gave attention to it. Those are the people, all right, that are the signs of success in ministry. It's not the size of the car that the man drove, the preaching man. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? That is, the days I will really rejoice is that one day maybe somebody somewhere is sharing a testimony, how God lifted him up from nothing and he now became something, has been a blessing to his generation, his family, all right? He's been a blessing to his wife and children. And look at what his life has become. He has become a positive influence of righteousness on the earth. He has been delivered from sickness, from poverty, from all of those things. And he said, how did he come? I remember those days. We'll be in one particular village about 60 kilometers from Enugu, and we'll tune on Mondays and listen to one Pastor Banky. Maybe I don't know him. And we'll tune on Thursdays and listen to him. And then we got his books and his tapes. And that began to show us the way of righteousness. And that's why we are where we are today. And I said, God, thank you very much. I don't need to know him. We don't need to relate personally. The important thing is that now I know I did my work. Do you follow the point I'm making? You are getting the point I'm making. That is a purpose, all right? There's something that gives me, all right, satisfaction. That this is what God used my life to do. I was able, all right, to touch my generation for people. Please, I'm coming to something. Let me get back to where I was. Now, so we're talking about Jesus Christ. So this is a sign of true ministry. It is not that I became great and everybody is small. And I measure my greatness by the number of small people around me. You know, there are people who do that. Their greatness is determined by how ungreat those who are following them are. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, don't come close. I have to remain standing, outstanding. Not because I'm so big, but because the rest of you are so small. Therefore, I hide the Bible. You shouldn't read it. I should be the only one reading the Bible. Therefore, I will tell you that you don't have the ability to understand it. I preach it to you. That the only way you can understand is if you listen to me. And anything I say that's different from what you think you understand, you are wrong. I'm always right. And I feel important when I gather many unthinking human beings like that around me. But that's not the way it was with Jesus Christ. No. What did he do? He came to perfect everyone who would believe in him. He went through everything he went through so that everybody, do you get my point, can become what God made them to be. So the sign of success for a preacher, okay, is how he was able to use the word of God to bless people so much that all the limitations that Satan put upon them, those limitations were removed, and then they grew up into the manifestation of God's glory, became everything that God wanted them to be. Do you understand my point? The next thing I'm going to be teaching on radio is titled Your Identity. In fact, I heard that message came about, you will laugh. I was driving with my wife, we were just chatting. I explained something to her, and then I said, baby, that should be a nice topic for radio, don't you think so? She said, yes. I said, good. Next time we are talking about your identity. What do I mean? There's something that God created you to be. Are you following my point? Let me put it like this. There is a manifestation of Jesus that you are supposed to be in a particular area of life. And you know my job? My job is to preach the word of God to you. Use that word to remove everything that's standing above your head, preventing you from growing up into that thing. Do you get my point? Using that word, I preach it until you hear it so much that you can no longer believe the devil. Because if Satan cannot take hope away from you, he cannot keep you down. The first thing he does is to persuade you. Satan can't force, like, keep on saying it. Satan cannot force anybody to just do anything he likes. He has to talk to you first. He came up to Eve. Come, madam, let's talk. Has God really said that you shouldn't do this? He said yes. In fact, he said more than that. He said we shouldn't even touch it. He said good. Do you know why? Listen, he began to explain to Eve. It's because he doesn't want you to be wise. By the time he finished, he had persuaded Eve that God made a mistake in that commandment. And as soon as Eve believed him, suddenly the fruit became attractive. Now, there's a depth of revelation there. Listen, she was passing by that fruit every day. It was not attractive. But when Satan finished talking to him, her, suddenly it became attractive. What am I saying? Your perception of events on earth is based on the information you had before. There's nothing, look, there's nothing outside that has a real value of meaning in itself. You only perceive them based on the amount of information you had before. The same fruit was there. Eve never thought it was fine. She was never attracted to it until somebody said, come. He said, come. That is a source of good wisdom. Then it became attractive. When they start enticing young men, let's go and do iniquity. Whether it's attractive or not depends on exactly what you are seeing. The one who says it is a way to make quick money is an attractive deal. But the one that says the sword will soon pass through my heart, he doesn't think it's attractive. Now, do you get my point? That is, what Satan first does, all right, is to persuade you concerning something. So what is my job? My job is to unpersuade you concerning what you have been persuaded about, and then teach you what God says concerning you, and then you grow and manifest the glory that God wanted you to manifest. Please, I hope you are getting my point. What am I saying all of these things? That is what a real minister does. And that was what Jesus did. What did he do? He opened the door so that all of us can become exactly like him in our different spheres of life. Let me say this to us again. We're talking about equality with God. I'm going to explain something.